as you give out, it comes back to you again. So sometimes you got to look out. John Bunyan wrote, a man there was, and they called him mad, because the more he gave, the more he had. Yeah. The more he gave, the more he had.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out.
To 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 9. How many people know that when Pastor Glaze preaches for an hour, the Steelers win? All right. Somebody said, preach! All right. God says, Paul says in the ninth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, he said that God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Man, I said, what a powerful thought. And as I began to think about that, and I was ready to preach this last week, but I was thinking, what does that mean when it says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you? Well, in your notes this morning, I've given you a couple translations. The New Living Translation says this: and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. The Greek, the literal Greek, Kenneth Weiss does a literal word-for-word translation from the Greek, and this is how he translates it. He says, moreover, God is powerful to make every grace superabound to you in order that, having always and all sufficiency in all things, you may superabound to every good work. Now, if you were to look at this in the Greek, you would see about six times the word all and every is used. You think Paul is trying to get a message across here? You think Paul's trying to tell us something? That every grace will abound towards you. Now, as we look at the context of the passage, once again, Paul is writing to Christians about an offering they had promised to collect. He begins by commending them for their eagerness to participate in this offering in verses 1 through 3. He then gives them advance notice by letting them know he is sending some of the brothers to receive the offering, so it will be in place when these brothers get there, verses 4 and 5. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago, verses 6 and 7. He continues by instructing them on the principles of giving, and then he concludes this chapter in verses 8 through 15 by sharing with them the blessings of giving. So that is the context in which this passage is couched. So we see that the passage is couched within a context of giving. And if you look back to a verse that we read a couple of weeks ago, he said in verse 6, he said, but this I say unto you, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then tack right on the end of that, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Oh, what the grace of God to abound toward me. You know, this thing is like a boomerang. You know, when you throw it, it comes back at you again. As you give out, it comes back to you again. So sometimes you got to look out. John Bunyan wrote,
a man there was, and they called him mad because the more he gave, the more he had. The more he gave, the more he had. You see, God is able that when we share out of the gifts of our heart, when we share out of the things that God has blessed us with, God is able. As we look at verse 9:8, there's three things I want to point out. The upward look, the inward look, and the outward look. The upward look. What is the upward look? Well, the upward look is God is able. Yeah. God, see, when you say that, don't look down. Don't look to your neighbor. Don't look around. But when you say God is able, that's the upward look. That's where I'm looking. God is able. This word able comes from the Greek word dunamis, which actually in other places is translated power. You know what it says? God has the power. God has the power. You know, you might not have the power. You might not be able, but God is able. I played college football. I tried out for two professional football teams. I remember on one occasion when I was in college, they had punted the ball, and I was running down to make the tackle. And as I ran down to make a tackle, I didn't see a guy, and he got me with his helmet right up underneath my chin. Man, that was the hardest hit that I ever took in my life. Man, my feet flew up in the air, and I landed back on my head. And you're talking about somebody that was hurting. You're talking about somebody that was hurting. But you know what? I got up, and I went back in the game. I played baseball. And there were times that I would slide into second base. I mean, and I would hit the ground sliding into second base, full force, right there on my side. And I'd get back up. Every year, Bethany has a church picnic. And every year, I play softball and I play basketball. Sometimes I play basketball. But I'll play. And my wife will be sitting over there saying, don't you think you've had enough? Don't you think you need to stop? No, I'm all right. I can still do this. I can still play. And the next morning, call 911. I think I broke my leg. I can't get up. I've fallen. I can't get up. I can't move. You see, I'm not able to do the things that I used to be able to do. I could take a hit and get right back up again. Can't do that. I'm not able. But thank God, I know one who was able, who is able, and who always will be able. God is able. He's able. And because he is able, we always have all grace abounds toward us. Thank God that there's nothing that God cannot do. Little boy was sitting on the plane, and he had his Sunday school lesson. And as he was reading his Sunday school lesson, it was talking about the power of God. And there was a professor that was sitting in the seat next to him, and he thought that he would try to encourage the little boy in the Sunday school lesson. And he said, son, he said, if you can tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you an apple. The little boy thought, he said, mister, if you can tell me one thing that he can't do, I'll give you a whole bushel. So, God is able. And not only is God able, but he's also willing. Look at that verse that I put there, Romans 8:32. Look what it says there. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, look at this, graciously give us all things? Now, I'm not here to talk about name it, claim it, blab it, grab it this morning. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to say that when the child of God lines up with the program of God and gets on God's agenda, then you will see that God will make all grace abound towards you. The upward look. The upward look. God is able. Now, look at the inward look. To make all grace abound where? Toward you. That you having all sufficiency in all things. This word abound comes from a Greek word that actually means to overflow and then surround. Peri. That word peri means to be around, to surround. And so what it's saying here is that God's grace is able to fill you up, overflow, and surround all around you. The inward look, that when I take this inward look, I realize that God's grace abounds towards me. That if I have any lack or any need in my life, that God is able to meet the need that I have. I like what I heard somebody say. Somebody said that I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry that much because I'm happy anyhow. As life goes along the way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer. Because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage, when the way grows steep and rough, I'll ask not for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Paul said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. The upward look, God is able. The inward look, to make all grace abound towards me. Do you know that there's not a situation that the grace of God does not cover? There's no predicament that man can find himself in that God has not correspondingly made grace to cover it. Every human need, there is a supernatural resource. For every problem, there is an answer. For every hurt, there is a cure. For every weakness, there is a strength. For every confusion, there is guidance. You know, one of the things that is most difficult for me to do as a pastor, and I'm sure that is difficult for many of the members to do when you have to deal with this, when somebody loses a loved one. And sometimes I know people want answers. They want to know, why did this happen at this time? How could God allow this to happen? I don't understand this. And you know, sometimes, you know, there's no answer. And you can't come up with an answer. You can't try to fake an answer. The only thing that you can do is just put it in the hands of the Lord. And you know what? Allow his grace to take over. Because for every hurt, the one thing that you can be sure of, I might not be sure about where my loved one went. I might not be sure about how long I'm going to suffer. I might not be sure about how I'm going to make it day by day. I might not be sure about how I'm going to pay these. But you know what? There's one thing that I can be sure about, is that God's grace will abound towards you. That wherever the hurting soul is, that wherever the person who is hurting is, God's grace abounds towards you. The upward look, God is able. The inward look, that his grace abounds towards you. It comes in your direction. And then the outward look, that God's grace comes so that you can abound in every good work. Let me read this comment from the Life Application Commentary, because I like this. The biggest obstacle that people have to overcome in order to give is worry. What if I will not have enough money next year for my retirement? What if some emergency comes up? What if I lose my job? These verses reassure the Corinthians that God is able to generously provide all their need. Look at this. Look at this. The purpose of God's overwhelming blessing is always to equip his people to have plenty left over to share with others. Man, that's why God blesses you. That's why God gives you over and above. That's why it says the grace of God. God is able to make his grace abound toward us so that when his grace abounds toward us, the upward look, God is able. The inward look, his grace abounds toward me. The outward look, that I can help somebody else. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, as I move on in the message today, I did a study, and you'll see at the bottom part of your notes that I have in the center there, all grace. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm curious. I want to find out what these things mean. What does it mean when he says all grace? He said he's going to make all grace abound toward me? Then I need to understand what that means. Well, I did a study. That phrase there, all grace, is the Greek word Pasan Karin, and it means all grace. It means all grace. But then what I did, I went and I looked in the Greek at the different ways that this word charis is used. You ever heard the word charismatic, charismatic? Okay, that's the first part of that word there, charismatic, the gifts or the blessings. And so I began to look at it, and I saw that it spoke of at least, and I just picked out four types of grace: saving grace, smiling grace, special grace, and substantive grace. Let me just share with you what I'm talking about. Ephesians 2:8. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians about their new life in Christ. As a result of God's grace, he proclaimed, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." It is by, look, for by grace, guess what that word is? Charis. By grace are you saved. What did God say? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Saving grace. That when you got saved, God sent his grace out to you. One older theologian said, it's the hound of heaven, that God sends the hounds out from heaven to hunt you down. What is that? That's the grace of God. You see, Bill Glaze was out in the world doing his own thing, shaking his fist in the face of God, saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you, turning my back and running from God. But God spilled over his grace from Calvary. And the grace of God began to run after Bill Glaze. And I just kept running. And I tried to run as deep into sin as I could go. But the grace of God just kept coming. I tried to get deeper in sin, but the grace of God just coming. And the more I got into sin, the more grace overcame me. And that's why the Bible said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And the grace of God ran me down, caught me, saved me, cleaned me up, set me on my way. And it's for by grace I am saved. The charis. Oh, I thank God for this salvation. God thought it. Christ brought it. The Holy Spirit taught it. Satan fought it. The rich man sought it. The dying thief caught it. And thank God I got it. Grace, grace, wonderful grace, marvelous grace, greater than all my sin. Saving grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Even when you're running from him, his grace is able to run you down, man. Saving grace. Smiling grace. Paul is touching on the controversial subject with the saints in Rome. And he's dealing with this whole issue of eating meat that some people thought to be unclean. And so some were younger believers, and they would have got offended if they saw an older believer eating meat that had been offered up and was unclean. And so there was this big controversy going on. And Paul addresses that whole issue of eating meat that were unclean and all this. But then he concludes in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. He says, let me read that for you. Romans 14, it's there in your outline if you want to read along with us. But Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, where he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, what is the word here? The word is kara, joy. So whereas Paul in Ephesians 2:8 talked about saving grace, he talked about charis, saving grace. Now in Romans 14, he talks about smiling grace, the joy that God is able, despite the circumstances that you go through, no matter what you have to deal with, that nobody can take that joy from your heart. They might take your happiness, they might take your laughter, but oh, if you got the joy of God in your heart, they can't take the joy from you. Oh, I like what I used to hear him say all the time, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. The world can't take it away. This is smiling grace right here. God says that I will make all grace abound towards you. Joy. Why is it that in the midst of difficult circumstances, you can still, in the midst of heartache and pain that might be all around you, why is it that deep down inside, there's a peace in your heart? It's that grace. It's that grace. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I have to worry about personally. But deep down inside, you know, there's one thing I know, that everything is going to be all right. Because I know that God is going to work it out. And I was thinking, I said, and you know, the worst thing, saints, the worst thing that can happen is for me to die. That's the worst thing. But then that's the best thing. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be prostantheo, and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I've got this deep down abiding joy that Satan can't root out, that the world can't pull out. All the kids sing the song, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where?
Down in my
heart. Where?
Down in my heart.
I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And look, the second, he says, I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. I'm singing, Mary. Down in my heart. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. And it's down in my heart to stay. Now, here goes one that is not in the book, but I heard the kids sing. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Ouch! Sit on attack. And if the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. You see, Paul said, I got this joy, this smiling grace, this grace that brings joy.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.